Good morning, Colorado Springs. It's another brighter day in the neighborhood, and I'm your host, Angela Jones of Brighter Day Law. We have Devin Christensen back with us this morning. Welcome, Devin, again.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you could come back. Like, we were really getting into some really great discussions, and the discussion actually went on after we were off the air with our producer and everything last time. And so I'm really glad you were able to kind of get back over here to us. And it's been kind of cool. Ever since we talked, I've mentioned some of the, you know, like some of your testimony, the sort of the dream, like you acting on dreams and things like that to some people. And like I was sharing with you earlier, it's like, you know, some people are like, oh, wow, that's super cool. And other people are like, how can I very quickly get out of this super weird conversation? So, but you know, you were sharing with me some tips and tricks for talking to people about these kind of topics.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's, again, everybody's in a different place in life, right?
Yeah.
I found just in my travels that dreams is just a great way of, I don't know. It's like everybody has questions about them. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've traveled different countries around the world, and it doesn't matter the culture. It doesn't matter the language.
Mm.
Right. People have questions about the dreams they have. And so it's just a great way to start a conversation. And when you have answers and, you know, you travel based on the dreams you have at night,
mm-hmm.
right, that intrigues people. And so it kind of draws people in and they start asking. But you do always get some reactions where people are like, I don't know what to do with that. Right. And so it's just usually when people have that reaction,
mm-hmm,
but they're still
mm-hmm.
engaged, right? You can tell they're not just shut down and mm-hmm. walking away. A lot of times I'll ask them, I'm like, well, have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
Mm.
Okay? Which is kind of the medical term for it, but it's this feeling where, you know, you're asleep and it's like sheer terror in the room,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it
mm-hmm.
feels like something's either sitting on you or trying to choke you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll ask, and most people have experienced that in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll tell them, I'm like, hey, do you want to know how, like if that happens, how to get out of it? You know,
okay.
So that you don't just sit there awake, unable to move, you know, feeling like there's fear. And I'll kind of walk them through this pretty easy process.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be amazed at how many times, you know, when people do have that kind of reaction of like, oh, this is weird. You bring that up and all of a sudden they're interested, right?
Well, I'm interested. So how is it that, what's the process for dealing with that?
It's really quite simple.
Okay.
And for me, I'll just share a little bit about my story on this.
Okay.
The first time that ever happened to me, I was actually living in Memphis, Tennessee at the time.
Okay.
And it was a really rough time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Living in Memphis is rough in and of itself.
Yes, yes, that is true.
That's a dig at Memphis, but that's okay.
it's got some nice areas, but there's a lot of just heaviness, you know,
right,
in the city.
Right.
Anyway, at one point I was there, and again, it was kind of an interesting time in my life, but I can remember that feeling, like, you know, going to sleep, and then all of a sudden in the middle of the night, you know, it felt like a 400-pound guy was sitting on my chest trying to, like, choke me. Which, of course, there's no one in the room,
right.
You know, you're awake, and it's just like this fear,
right.
You know, this terror. And fortunately, in that moment, and again, we talked about this last time,
I'm
a believer, I believe in Jesus, right?
Right.
And I literally started saying the name of Jesus in my mind until it became loud enough to come out my mouth.
Mm.
And immediately, whatever this presence was just broke.
Mm-hmm.
And left the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I can remember, it was this sense of like, almost like gasping for air, like, you know, as this thing left. And so that was my first encounter. And I was probably early 20s when that happened.
Okay.
And again, it was just like, okay, what is this? You know, this is long before I learned anything about spiritual warfare, teaching anything about it. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All I knew at that point is that worked.
Mm.
Right. And so later in life, I actually had it happen again. And this time, though, totally different circumstances and outcome.
Okay.
And this time, I learned a lot about this stuff, about spiritual warfare, what these things are, you know, what happens.
Okay.
And I was doing a bunch of ministry in Fort Collins in Colorado. And And I was traveling back home one night, and it was really late. It was like 1 a.m. And it's, you know, I'm not going to tell the whole story. It's a little bit long. But anyway, I had something very similar happen to me. But instead...
And you were driving this time.
Well, I was driving home. I got home late. Gotcha. And then at like 5:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Very similar. I had something, the same effect, same, you know, similar circumstances. But this time, it was like I just started laughing. And it immediately broke. And what's interesting is after that, I went to a friend's, he has a prayer meeting every morning at his, he has an airplane hangar anyway. And we, you know, a bunch of guys go out there and I walk in and he comes out and he's like, Devin, I don't know what's going on, but it's just like God's presence is just open over the whole area. And I knew that what I had dealt with just, again, just being without fear in that situation. Had caused this, whatever this thing was, to just break and leave. And what's interesting, if you read in the Bible, I think it's in Philippians, it talks about how when you're not afraid of your tormentors, it's proof of your salvation or your deliverance, and it's evidence to them of their destruction. And so again, we're kind of getting into some interesting things here, right? Spiritual beings, you know, we call them demonic spirits, but just not being afraid and the difference between the reactions. And so when I help people with this kind of thing, if it's something they experience on a regular basis, I'll tell them, I'm like, just, and I've been in cultures, I've literally stayed with Muslims overseas. You know, I've lived with a lot of different people in my travels and I'll tell them the same thing. I'm like, you can actually try this out. You know, if that's a regular occurrence or when it happens, you can try different names. You can try Buddha. You can try Allah. You can try all these different names. You'll find, and you just test it by experience, you'll find that the name of Jesus is the only name that this, these spirits respond to. And so I've, you know, I've taught people that for years now. And it's amazing. I mean, I've sat at coffee shops and had conversations with complete strangers.
Right.
You know, and we'll get contact information, whatever. And like 3 months down the road, I'll get a message. They're like, oh my gosh, it happened. And it was like, I remembered what you said and it worked. Like, why the heck did that work?
Right.
And so then, you know, it leads into another conversation of like, okay, well, if that name has authority and power, then you should probably get to know that person, right? Who's behind that. And it's just a great way to share the gospel with people in a very practical way.
Right, right. Well, and I think that's real interesting. I think I read a story, Chris Vallotton, my son Daniel, he recommended, you know, he's recommended Chris Vallotton's work to me in a general sense, but I was reading, and I think it was The Supernatural Ways of Royalty, where he tells a story about having, you know, just really gone through what he described as like a nervous breakdown for a number of years. And then he kind of came out of that. And then he got into this ministry of deliverance. And there was a young woman who was an addict and had been living homeless that he invited into his home. And when that happened, all manner of crazy stuff started happening in the home. And in particular, he said there was this big dark presence that would come into his room. And he remembered just being terrified. Like terrified, like night after night, terrified. And then at a certain point in time, he, like what you're describing, sort of like, wait a second, why am I afraid of this? This is, and so when he kind of woke up, saw the thing or whatever, he was like, oh, it's just you, rolled over and went to sleep. And that was the end of that. Like it was just, you know, and I think I've heard it said that, you know, throughout the Bible in particular, that Jesus says, do not fear more than he says anything else. Like
it's,
over.
It's very common.
Over and over. I mean, and I don't know there's an actual word count on that, but that's, you know, I think that's a key component. And, you know, but how is it we don't fear?
Yeah. And that's the tricky part, right? Because it's in that moment,
right?
It's one of those things. It's like either you are or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, but saying the name of Jesus is a way, you know, when you do feel that oppression and it is affecting you, to speak that out. And this is, I mean, I have countless, you know, just testimonies from people and they're like, it breaks. Like whatever that is, you know, and a lot of times they're unbelievers. and they don't know. They're not, you know, they're not Christians. They're not familiar with all of this, but they'll remember that story, mm-hmm. and they're like, why did that name work?
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's incredible. And of course, you know, if people are believers, they understand, right? In the Bible, it says our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, right? Rulers of darkness. Yeah. And it's funny to me, though, a lot of times it's unbelievers that are more honest mm-hmm. with the dreams that they've had, with the spiritual encounters, than most Christians.
Right.
Right? Because unfortunately, there's a lot of denominations that literally teach people to deny this stuff, even mm-hmm. when it's actually in Scripture, right? But I've had lots of conversations with people that are in New Age or Wicca or, you know, mm-hmm. some form of just spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, they have more questions and they're a lot more honest about the encounters they've had in the spirit. Right?
Well, and I think that, you know, like we are three-part beings. I think most people would agree, regardless of their religious beliefs, that we have a soul and we have a body. And then there's some spiritual aspect as well. And, you know, so it doesn't make a lot of sense that anybody would just deny spiritual things, period. You know, I mean, you can have different takes, I think, on what that means or what that looks like or what have you. But to say there isn't the spiritual doesn't make a lot of even logical sense.
Well, and a lot of people, again, depending on how they're raised, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times people will have dreams, you know, when they're young, and they'll be very traumatic and they don't know how to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And so literally, like, they'll make this internal choice that I don't want this, I reject this. And they'll actually shut down their ability to perceive things spiritually. I find that men are actually much better at that, of just cutting it off and shutting it down, than women are. Mm-hmm. But you do see it on both sides. And when you have those kind of encounters that are traumatic, you know, nightmares, and you know, the sleep paralysis stuff, it does. If you don't have an answer for it that changes, then it's this sense of like, I have to get rid of all of that because it's affecting me and I have no answer for it. And so a lot of, you know, what I try to do is step in and help people understand and how to deal with it so that instead of it causing fear and trauma and just being a detriment, they actually learn how to deal with these things and they start to see their life grow. They start to see their dreams change and actually be full of light.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of all this dark, shadowy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they can actually have victory even in their dream. It's incredible how it, like, as a person matures in this, how much authority they'll have actually in their dreams to change them, to actually interact instead of just run from things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely one of those topics that, you know, most people, if they're willing to be honest,
right,
like, I have questions and I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a couple other areas that you teach in as well. I'm going to identify the station real quick. And if it's okay, then we'll get into some of those things.
Go for it.
All right. You're listening to KPPF. I'm Angela Jones, and this is Another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. Our guest today is Devin Christensen. Okay, so Devin, I know that you teach on a variety of different topics. And so other than the dreams, what else? I mean, what else are your maybe two, three, core areas that you, you know, encourage people with?
I would say, how do I put it? I would say it this way is kind of my overall goal in what I do. In any of the topics, is to help people hear from God for themselves.
Okay.
And so if that's dreams, right? Mm-hmm. Dreams and visions, that kind of spectrum of things. If that's, you know, helping people through some of their heart wounds and some of the belief systems that they've had since they were a child, some of the trauma they've been through. I do a lot of prayer counseling and just walking people through what's called deliverance or inner healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are, you know, and then as you dive into that, and then there's just a lot of just general teaching things to help people in like relational stuff with other people.
Mm-hmm.
One of those, if you don't mind me sharing,
actually
it's kind of a fun story. So I was actually on this trip to Africa. And there's a background to this, but at one point I was in this little room, I was praying, It was kind of urgent because I was at the end of the money I had at that point. I was having to change countries. I'd had a dream that I was crossing the border, so I knew where I was going. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, God, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What do you want to show me? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I actually had this open vision, which is the way I describe an open vision is like you're seeing like a scene or a movie play out in your mind mm-hmm. while you're awake. You're not daydreaming. It's almost right. like you're a third person watching it.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a dream, just you're awake for it, right?
Okay.
And anyway, so I had this open vision, and in the vision, I'm standing in front of a gentleman. He's about 20 feet in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I know who he is in this vision.
Okay.
And as I'm watching, the strangest thing happens, which, you know, you talk about dreams and visions. Strange things happens all the time.
You're right? talking about a lot of strange things. I am. But yes.
I get it. But as I'm watching, this literally like this beam of light, like a laser beam, comes out of his eye and slowly comes towards me. Now, again, I'm awake for this. And so I'm like watching this thing going, okay, this is really weird.
Right.
And light doesn't travel slowly, right? Like, what is going on? Anyway, it kind of zeroes in on my chest and it like pushes me backwards. And so much so that I jerked up kind of like out of this vision, you know, kind of like shake yourself awake in a thing. And I looked around the room to see who pushed me because it was so tangible. It was just like something actually like,
gotcha.
And of course, there was no one in the room. And so immediately I'm like, okay, that is so strange. And so I start asking, you know, God, I start praying and just saying, okay, what is that? What the heck? And very clearly I hear he's forming a judgment against you in his heart.
Huh.
And again, I was like, what? Like, this is weird. I wasn't praying about this. I wasn't asking about it. This is such a strange encounter. And so I start asking more. I was like, what do you mean? And very clearly, you know, the Holy Spirit took me to Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, there's a verse. And it talks about how, you know, it says Jesus is talking to people. And he says, you know, you must first deal with the plank in your own eye before you right. can deal with the speck in your brother's eye.
Right, right.
Okay? And the beginning of that verse or that interaction says, why do you judge your brother?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in that moment, again, I was still trying to understand it. You know, sometimes I'm not the quickest to pick up on things. And so I'm still like, okay, God, I don't get it.
Right.
And he just told me, he says, this is not a metaphor. It's a spiritual reality. And he kind of unraveled this, he started showing me that when we actually hold a judgment in our heart against someone, that spiritually there's something that, you know, whether it's a frequency our body puts off or it's just in the spirit, it actually pushes people away. And I think, you know, most people have encountered this at some level. I think women experience it more than men. You know, you walk into a room, everyone's happy, you know, the coffee's out. But the moment you walk in, you're like, ooh, I am not safe here. I feel judged.
Right.
Right. Right? And it's literally a tangible thing where you'll almost feel like pushed out of the room. And so as I, you know, was praying into it and asking the Lord, he unraveled this. It's like, you know, let's say for an example, let's say I have a family member or a friend, right? And they steal something from me, right? And I do the right thing, if you will, I forgive them. But every time they're around, I'm looking, you know, I'm watching them to see, you know, what are they going to steal this time? Okay, well, it's because in my heart, I have judged them to be a thief. Okay, it's one thing to say, hey, they stole something. These are the consequences, or, you know, this is what needs to happen. It was an action. It's another to say, this is who they are.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so, and when we have that, that's what we're talking about with this judgment. You kind of think of this beam between, you know, let's say between you and I. Okay. Now, let's say I want to be close to this person, right? They're a friend. And so I want to reconnect, right? We once had a connection, then they stole something. Now there's this distance. And so, you know, I do something like, hey, let's go grab coffee, right? And we talk, but at a heart level, right? If you kind of think of it as this beam or this plank between us, if I take a step forward, what do you have to do?
Step back.
Yeah. Okay. Now, but as human beings, we don't recognize that this isn't about their issue, right? We still think, well, this is their problem. they screwed this up. They made a mistake. They don't want to deal with their issues. Mm-hmm. Right. And so what happens? Well, that judgment grows. Mm-hmm. And so distance grows. Now give it a little time, right? You want to reconnect. So you try again. Mm-hmm. Well, I take a step forward. What do you have to do? Mm-hmm. Step. I mean, if there's this beam right. between us, right. you have to step backwards. And this is how the people we want to be closest to are often the furthest away. Mm. Right. And the important thing to remember is it's not because of their sin, if you will. Mm. Right. It's not because of what they did in stealing. It's actually the distance is actually caused by my judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How is judgment in this respect related to the idea, or is it, of unforgiveness?
Well, and technically, I think they should be together. Mm-hmm. But in our human experience, there's this sense of I forgave them for that. But in my heart, I still see them differently now.
Okay.
Right? And that's what we're talking about. I think in a perfect world, you know, when we forgive someone, we also release our judgment. Mm-hmm. But that just really doesn't happen very often. Right. It's literally like this separate issue. Mm. And I think that's why in the New Testament, Jesus addresses it separately from forgiveness.
Okay.
Right? He has a thing about forgiving, you know, your enemy, mm-hmm. right? Blessing those who hurt you, pray for them. And then he has this whole dialogue just on judgment. Hmm. And so as I look at that, there's a reason why. It's because our hearts deal with these issues separately.
So you can forgive but continue to judge.
Exactly.
Can you stop judging and still harbor forgiveness? Probably not.
No, because generally if you deal with the judgment, you had to have already forgiven, or at least that's part of the process. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example of how, I mean, God really kind of drove this home at one point. I had a friend, he was struggling, and so I came and I stayed at his house for a little while. He's older, married, has kids, and I'd known him and his family for years. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I was at their house. I got there on like a Sunday, but Tuesday rolls around and I'm just at their house praying. Everybody was out of the house. And very clearly, the Holy Spirit tells me, you need to deal with the judgments you have against his wife.
Hmm. Now, to you, said that to
I
you.
Need, yeah, I okay. need to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I had several, right? I had, you know, hard-hearted towards God, you know, not very caring. Like there was about five of them.
And these are just, you know, from your mind's eye, like maybe perceptions that you felt you had or something yeah. like that. But that wasn't really what was happening.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's these things are like, this is who she is, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, probably based on things I'd seen or heard or different interactions.
So right? there was some evidence that supported your assessments.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I went through and I prayed through them. And literally just as simple as, you know, Jesus, this is what I've believed about her. Mm. It's not something you've shown me. Mm. Meaning he never told me that. And so it was like, I repent, I break it in Jesus' name, and I moved on. Mm-hmm. And I got through about five, and then the Lord told me, he's like, hey, break the judgments other people have had that you accepted as your own. Mm. And so there were some, you know, not my interactions with her, but that I'd heard, you know, other people. And so I went through and dealt with that. And I could feel like something shift in my heart. And I didn't say anything. I didn't tell anyone. Well, several days later, I was getting ready to leave and we were outside, you know, enjoying barbecue, I think mm-hmm. after church or kind of, and out of nowhere, she kind of comes over and sits down at the table across from me and starts to ask me a question. And as she does, she starts tearing up a little bit. Mm. And she's like, Devin, I felt for a long time that God wanted me to ask you to pray for me, but I didn't think you'd even want to. Mm. Now, what's interesting is she knows this is what I do, right? And praying right. for people. And but again, at a heart level, she didn't feel safe enough to ask me in the previous months and years. Right. But here we are. She didn't know what I dealt with earlier that week. Right. But all of a sudden, she felt safe enough to actually ask me to pray for her. Hmm. Okay. And I scooted over. And I mean, in reality, if she'd asked before, I would have prayed for her. But if you think about what's going on, I would be praying for her outwardly, but my heart is still condemning her as you are this, you are that, right? You are these things in a negative way. And so anyway, I scooted over and I started praying. And as I was praying, I just felt like God gave me several pictures and images of her as like a little girl and just a very tender heart. and just super gentle. And so I started, you know, telling her what I was seeing, and she just started just weeping. And at one point she looked at me and she was like, Devin, no one would ever say these things about me. And I told her, I was like, well, you are who you've become because of what people have said and what you believe to be true about yourself. Right.
So she accepted the judgments.
Exactly. Too. Right. She took them as an identity. And when I was able to speak truth of like, no, this is what God says. You have a tender heart. You're very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It just, man, it was like that hardness just broke off. And things just really started to change. And it's just my example. And it matches actually what Jesus says, right? If you deal with a plank, now you can get close enough to help your friend remove the speck.
Right.
Right. Because in this example, that the person's sin is considered a speck while our judgment is considered a plank.
That plank that's pushing her back.
Exactly. Yeah. And as I've taught this to a lot of people. And again, the testimonies that come from this, I mean, even random things like people saying, I dealt with it. You know, my sister I haven't talked to in years. And then a week, something later, all of a sudden this person reaches out, contacts them. And they're like, man, we had a conversation. We haven't had that in 6 years, you know, right. Like just crazy stories, because even without them knowing about it, all of a sudden there's not that thing pushing them away, right? There's not that beam between them.
Right.
And so it just brings wholeness in relationships.
Oh. Well, that's fascinating. I love that. And I think there's, whether you are a Christian believer or, you know, or not, I think that whole idea that judgment, negative judgments against other people, I mean, it just makes sense that it doesn't pull them closer to you, you know, whatsoever. Yep. So, well, I so appreciate your time. I'm, you know, the last couple of times when you've come and spent time with us, I just find myself wanting to spend more time with you. I think it's just fascinating and I appreciate your generosity. But I think that's about all the time we have this week. Right. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us for another brighter day in the neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones. You can, tune in here each Sunday at this same time and station. And until we see and hear you again, or you hear from us again, have a brighter day.